broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country using the Constitution, a heavenly banner, and the supreme law of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, that means the good doctor's in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to match to preserve the nation. All available at freedomsrisingsun.com. And if you go to freedomsrisingsun.com, you got all kinds of videos and live weekly webinars with Q&As on the Constitution and a whole lot more. freedomsrisingsun.com. Good morning, doctor.
Well, good morning to you, and of course, good morning to all the listeners out there. That I'll bet it's colder here than a lot of places people are listening.
Heard that.
Sometimes
it's freezing cold, baby.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But you know what? I welcome it, and I'll tell you why. We got a lot of water this year, and there's a lot of water in the mountains in the form of ice and snow and everything else. And you know what? If it gets too springy too quick, it melts too fast and causes other issues. And so I don't mind it being cooler a little longer. And I also believe if we get more rain, more water, more, we need it because of the drought. So to me, even though it's very, very cold, this is all positive, and it fights the global warming lies. You know, just go outside and we'll discuss global warming, shall we?
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, when I was younger, there was global cooling. We had a new ice age coming. We're all going to die. Oh, ain't it awful. And then we get this a new approach about global warming, and because climate does change. I mean, it changes day to day and week to week and month to month and season to season. They call it climate change now, and now they don't have to change the name again because, by golly, it's always changing. Can you imagine? So, you know, they finally got their terminology right, but their cause of man-caused global warming is a facade. You know, I used to regularly visit with some upper atmosphere professors, and honestly, privately, I mean, publicly, they wouldn't do this because their grants, they were determined based upon how they conform to the script, basically. But privately, they would talk to me and say, you know what, it isn't man-caused. It's absolutely unrelated to that. And generally speaking, they had much to say about the solar, you know, the sun and its involvement in it and the warming of the seas and the cooling and so on. But publicly, they wouldn't. In fact, by the way, this was a common deal with researchers. I had a researcher call me one day and asked to meet me. He was literally in a blind alley. There were no windows onto the alley. It was a place where there couldn't possibly be anybody listening because you're far enough in the alley that from both ends of it, nobody could hear, and there was no windows nobody could listen to. He was a researcher in AIDS, and this was at a time when there was a big movement to try and get the gay agenda fostered by saying it was a genetic thing. Then they would try and put it on the same level as a race thing. You know, this is something you can't help. It's where you are. You came this way, and therefore they have to give it preeminence in terms of, you know, how they're going to, you know, foster it and so on. Anyway, this guy had been decades, literally decades, in AIDS research, and he took me in this alley and said, I can tell you this. He says, I'm absolutely, unequivocally, totally, completely, 100% certain that there is not a genetic link to homosexual behavior. And he said, if I said that publicly, though, I would never get another grant in my life, and my family would go hungry. I'd have to find a new profession. So that's how they foster these things, is if you basically toe the line on their agenda, and you give them information that they can play with and foster their agenda, you continue to get funded. And so that's the way the global warming thing has been done. But privately, I've talked to these guys. I mean, these are world-renowned preeminent upper atmosphere professors that have personally told me in private conversations that that the narrative is completely false. So it's interesting to me where we are with this. You know, follow the money, whether it's a COVID research grant or a military-industrial complex thing or, you know, whatever it is, you know, follow the money. If it's Hunter Biden with his cocaine habits and his funding of his dad's crime syndicate, whatever, it's all a money issue, you know.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, there's so much to cover in the news. It is shocking. And I don't even know where to go first. And let me tell you why. On one hand, you want to highlight these realities and you want to demonstrate the stark reality of the situation we find ourselves in. And it's vital to do that. You know, you can't just tickle people's minds and you know, funny bone it and never do any good, right? But at the same time, you got to want to laugh. You got to want to take a deep breath and take a step back from some of this stuff. So before we get into the two hard core news items that I have today, Doctor, I want to take a page from a guy who does a podcast. His name is Hank Smith. And Hank Smith doesn't really do political stuff. He does more life coach stuff and more positive mental attitude stuff and inspirational stuff and this kind of thing. His name is Hank Smith. But Kathy Smith of Loving Liberty Radio Networks sent me this, and I really wanted to cover it because I think it's really good. I think it really relates a lot of times to what we're experiencing in our lives. And if you're not careful, you could just deal with politics and deep state stuff and conspiracy stuff that turns out to be more fact than theory, et cetera. But you can get really discouraged if you're not careful. You can just be like, oh, man, this stuff's just too heavy. So I bring this up in an effort to kind of give people some hope, give people some encouragement, give people some. Here's the deal. Hank Smith says this. Children laugh over 300 times a day on the average. Adults, on the other hand, laugh an average of about 15 times daily. At what point did society forget how important it is to laugh and have laughter as our companion? When we laugh, ladies and gentlemen, we release endorphins that are scientifically proven to help heal not only our minds and spirit, but many aspects of our physical body. Research proves that humor, one, reduces pain, two, helps human beings cope with stress, three, reduces anxiety, four, relieves tension, five, burns calories, six, improves the immune system, seven, protects the heart, 8, lowers the blood pressure, 9, heals injuries, 10, clears the mind, and I'm just getting started. If those payoffs, ladies and gentlemen, aren't enough to tempt you to laugh a little bit more, the social aspects of laughter are immeasurable. Humor is known to create relationships and to create bonds between people, social bonds, something they've literally in the social distancing tried to destroy. People who laugh together, believe it or not, have better quality relationships with each other. Okay? The act of laughing is a social phenomenon. It's something that we do, but in COVID, with masks on and everything else and distancing, it's been hard to have that. So the average adult laughs way less than children, but it's even heightened by the supposed dishonesty of the pandemic. Out of the thousands of people in this world, most don't laugh. We need banter. We need candid humor. We need inspirational stories. Okay? We want to laugh with you, not at you. Remember, with you is the key words. Not at you, not behind you, not in front of you, but with you, especially in the dark and lonely times of your lives. All right. Anyway, Hank, in my opinion, is on to something brilliant here. You can laugh through the difficult times, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay to give yourself permission to do that, and it's okay to give others around you permission to do that as well, another podcaster wisely pointed out. Okay? We need to think less about our own egos, less about the turmoils of the world, and more about our connections with other people. More connected, more fun, more learning, more satisfying, more involvement, more friendships, more hope, more courage, more. I could keep going on, Doctor. But with all these scientifically proven evidences, is it any wonder that people are encouraging us to smile? It's really necessary, Dr. Bradley.
Well, as you point out, for the last couple of years, nobody's been able to see anybody else's smile, at least that was following the draconian buffoonery that was fostered. But it is interesting. I could take that counsel and apply it in my life with good effect, I believe. I believe that we do get oftentimes distracted and diverted. And there's a lot of things that are happening that you have to kind of go, huh, what's going on here? I mean, the absolute absurdity of where we're going in this nation and in this world at this time, it causes pause and head scratcher. But, you know, I think back, you think of Andy Griffith's show, for example, you know, with Opie and Aunt B and all of the shenanigans in their little town. They weren't laughing at anybody. That was important to recognize. Their intent was to laugh with people. And it was kind of a simpler, more pleasant, more uplifting time. Now, on the other hand, if you have a Kamala cackle every 5 minutes, somebody's going to start checking your sanity. I mean, what the blazes is going on with the Kamala cackle? And I'm not so sure she even knows what she's doing when she launches into those I don't know. It's just a diversion. I think she uses it when she knows darn good and well she's in over her head and hopes everybody will forget where they are on their page.
Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com. The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley in the house, ladies and gentlemen. All kinds of stuff going on in the news. I'm telling you, it's just crazy. Exactly what's going on everywhere in the news. I mean, it's beyond imagination. And you've just got to take a break and laugh. You've just got to. Oh, my gosh. Is that Kamala Harris, Dr. Bradley?
You know, it sounds suspiciously like it. But you know what? And I think it's a kind of a social event and a defense mechanism on her part. When things are kind of uncomfortable to her, she reverts to that cackle, and holy cow. I mean, there's no reasonable excuse for it at all, but yet there it is. Party animal as she has been for her whole career, I guess she thinks that's the way to win friends and influence people. I don't know. It's weird.
I hear
really
you.
Weird.
It's just laughter is a wonderful thing when genuinely done, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, at some point,
you see,
I want to play something.
It becomes unhinged. Listen,
that
to this.
I find really telling. Let's play from Kamala Harris. The two cuts. Let's cut one of Kamala Harris on 60 Minutes.
Listen.
You're very different in the policies that you've supported in the past. You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
I somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things. So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration?
Good question.
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue that we confront. Mm-hmm. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
Okay, stop.
And is that...
So she is. I'm going to bring my live.
There you have it. Now, the reason that I play that is, one, it relates to the laugh. It really does. And I think laughter is genuinely valuable when used properly as a real emotion. But when you mix the emotions, as Dr. Scott Bradley is wisely telling you with Kamala Harris here, she's not laughing to bring these endorphins of happiness and cheerfulness and love and respect and camaraderie or whatever you want to say with others. She's laughing as a nervous laugh, like, you know what? Literally, my policies, my agenda's on trial, and I don't know how to respond, so I'm going to laugh. That's not the kind of laughter we're talking about when we tell you that laughter is good for you, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I think she's taken up interview time to limit the amount of questions she has to face at some point. And I mean, I think, again, it's a defense mechanism that she's developed over the years when she gets faced with something that is over her head and beyond her pay grade or whatever. And like I say, you know, party girl she's been, she's had her way of dealing with political arrangements, shall we say. And it's just not facing reality. So I don't know. Maybe I've taken us a little bit afield from the idea.
Well, you haven't. Let me tell you why. In that nervous laugh, when her policies were a little bit challenged, Glenn Beck making fun of her. But Glenn Beck doesn't take it to the next level, as we always will. Okay, Glenn laughs and, you know, mocks her and everything else. But let's bring it to reality, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that Kamala Harris is promoting her extremely most liberal policies. Joe doesn't maybe even agree with them, but he's so senile he doesn't know. And she's carrying this forward to the deep state and Congress big time. Here's the proof. Headline says this. The deep state, a.k.a. Congress, funds $1.5 trillion spending bill, including funding to the Ukraine. Yeah, looks like it already passed the House and the Senate, and it looks like Joe Biden will sign the measure. Here's the deal. Substantial increases for domestic, what they call national security program. That means, you know, calling people who go to school board meetings and stuff like that terrorists, right? Along with $13.6 billion in emergency aid for the Ukraine as it battles Russia's invasion. Now, they say the Senate approved the more than 2,700-page bill by a vote of 68 to 31. They call it a sense of urgency to avoid government shutdown, ladies and gentlemen. They say the government shutdown would have happened within days. I kind of think that should have happened. But they say the bill, believe it or not, only funds the government through September. $1.6 trillion with a T, and it only funds the government through September. And they say it includes a generous spend on government domestic programs largely promoted by Democrats and military spending largely promoted by Republicans. So they're all in bed together on this absolute, in my opinion, betrayal of we the people. They say this is the first time they've been able to enact a spending bill with all these priorities in it since Joe took office. It reflects their priorities, including investing in what they call climate resilience. That's a new term for you, climate resilience. They say public assistance programs and unlocking aid for projects contained in the $1 trillion infrastructure, bipartisan infrastructure loss. Now they got $1 trillion in that and $1 trillion in this. They've already passed $2.5 trillion, and we can't even get to the end of the year with that expenditure. They say the bipartisan funding bill, they say, proves once more that Democrats and Republicans can come together and serve the American people, says Jen Psaki, whacked out press secretary. No, we've proven that the deep state is all against we the people, and the left-right makes no difference whatsoever. But she added, we continue to call on Congress to provide the funds urgently needed to prevent severe disruptions to our COVID response. So not only do they spend $1 trillion on the infrastructure, $1.5 trillion on this big omnibus spending bill, that's $2.5 trillion. It only funds the government through September, and now she's already begging for more money. Republicans, of course, claim credit for prodding Democrats to accept the $42 billion increase in military spending, bringing the total this year to $782 billion. Democrats hailed the $46 billion in increase for the domestic programs they want to promote. In other words, spreading socialism and welfare and handouts all across the country, calling their $730 billion the largest investment in 4 years. They say this bill invests in future prosperity, in our health. It reduces everyday costs for Americans, such as childcare, a college education, and heating and cooling costs. Anyway, they go on and on. I mean, it is insane. Democrats also want increases for maternal and child health programs, the protection of women from domestic abuse, tribal programs, public education. Oh, I thought the Republicans were going to get rid of that. Addressing mental health crises. Congress also agreed to direct millions of dollars towards its own employees and towards the Capitol complex. The U.S. Capitol Police will receive $602.5 million as an increase of $87 million to help expand its ranks after the January 6th, quote, riot. House congressional offices will see their budgets increase 21%, the largest increase since 96. That's since the Republicans had control before. The legislation also includes $1 billion in funding, listen carefully, for the missile defense system for Israel. They call it the Israel's Iron Dome defense system. Rand Paul tried to stop it, but nobody else went along with Rand, so it got shut down. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep state is criminal, and this is just proof that they're all selling us down the river. Literally $2.5 trillion. They're begging for more money, and we can barely last till September. They're running it off the rails, doctor. When we get back, oh, money, huh? Yeah, they're spending it like drunken sailors. I don't even know how to respond to this almost. But that's where we are, and the Republicans are hailing the deal. So are Democrats. There's only a few people standing up going, whoa, wait a minute, what happened? 2,700-page bill. Nobody could read it. Guess that doesn't matter. Dr. Bradley responds in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The latest consumer price index numbers, 7.9% over the past 12 months ending in February, show just how widely inflation pressures have spread over the past year. The pandemic fiscal stimulus is done. The Federal Reserve will start raising interest rates next week, tightening financial conditions. The White House is warning a frustrated Putin has the resources to launch chemical weapons in Ukraine.
That they not only have the capacity, they have a history of using chemical and biological weapons.
Jen Psaki from the White House lectern. With Russia's economy in ruins, the stock market remains closed in Russia for fear of a run on the Russian currency and its bonds near default. Global investors are set for major losses from Russian investments. In recent days, major financial players have disclosed Russian debt defaults will hurt. One example, BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, has lost roughly $17 billion since the invasion. USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Rick. I'm at the Smith home. Where's Donnie?
Leaves and autumn bookings pile up for Rick's gutter cleaning service.
He's out? Come on.
He needs help before his bottom line gets clogged.
Okay, well, what about Christiana? We still got six houses today.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Gunsmoke. Fort Laramie.
Have gun. Will travel.
Frontier gentlemen.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
The greatest radio shows of all time. Classic radio theater with Wyatt Cox. On many of these radio stations or online, just search for Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. That's Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
The Biden administration and IRS leadership have called for more IRS funding critical to help with the backlog of tax returns. Tim Berg reports.
The IRS is hiring 10,000 new employees in an attempt to handle a backlog of tax returns. They will add 5,000 in the next couple of months, with another 5,000 by the end of the year. The agency has over 23 million unprocessed forms and requests that need to be attended to, with the goal to get that number down to 1 million by the end of the year. The IRS has already begun paying mandatory overtime to over 6,000 employees, as well as hiring contractors.
Emilio Delgado, the actor portraying Luis on Sesame Street, has reportedly passed away Thursday at the age of 81 in New York. Don't forget, daylight savings time kicks in early Sunday morning. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
$1.5 trillion, 2,700-page bill or measure. It's a spending bill that included aid for the Ukraine, increased money for everybody and their dog. Republicans and Democrats all happy as could be. Biden's likely to sign it. They say Biden expected to sign the measure, if you will, out of control, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's a total sellout. And that's kind of, I mean, there's so many things at fault. I mean, the 17th Amendment caused this to happen. See, you know, in the old days, the House was, and they still are, were elected by the people, and they made promises that they sought to fulfill once they got in. You know, what do you want? Oh, vote for me, I'll give it to you. And so they put all these pork things in, that they've come to be calling them. And the Senate took them out until the 17th Amendment, because the senators are now directly elected by the people. They make the same kind of promises to the people, like, what do you want? I'll vote for me, I'll give it to you. Well, so what has happened is that 68 senators have sold out, they've sold their vote to things. You know, they probably say, oh, yeah, that was bad in this part. Oh, I didn't support that. But we got these things. Well, here's the problem. What they're doing is literally they're selling their vote to the highest bidder. And I'll just give you an example out of the Obamacare bill. Obama was two Senate votes short of being able to get it through the Senate. And so he put it out. Okay, what do you guys need? What would you like in this bill to get your vote? And then we had what I term the Louisiana the second Louisiana purchase, where the senator from Louisiana sold out, she said, I need this back in my state. They said, well, why didn't you say so? We'll put that in there. And then there was the Cornhusker sellout, where Nebraska says, well, we could use this. Fine, good, we'll throw that in there too. And so they sold their votes, and that's how we got Obamacare. That's exactly how things are happening now. And I would venture to guess, and I can't prove this off the top of my head with on a 2,700-page bill, but I would venture to guess that 80% of the stuff that's in there is unconstitutional. Well, you would say, you know, the national defense is constitutional. Certainly it is. But you look how we're the policemen of the world and how we're putting billions of dollars into a fight that really isn't ours and really and truly is an establishment move thing for this Ukrainian thing. You look at what they put in there for violence against women. You know, anybody that's decent is not for violence against women. But they were the founders were completely, completely opposed to anything outside the constitutional mandate being funded. And let's talk about crime for a second. I've got a quotation here from St. George Tucker, and I've introduced him many times to your listeners as probably the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era. But he talked about the very guarded manner in which Congress are vested with authority to legislate upon subject of crimes and misdemeanors. I'm quoting, they are not entrusted with a general power over these subjects, but a few offenses are selected from the great mass of crimes with which society may be infected, upon which only Congress are authorized to prescribe a punishment or define the offense. All felonies and offenses committed upon land in all cases are not expressly in all cases not expressly enumerated, being reserved to the states respectively. So here we have, oh, come on, everybody, you support a bill that would prevent violence against women. And again, this is a Joe Biden Orrin Hatch thing from the 1990s. Again, a constitutional overreach from the beginning. And the general government has no authority whatsoever. I mean, there are heinous things, murder, the general government doesn't have any jurisdiction over. And I mean, almost every level, you can see if you look through the Constitution, oh, counterfeiting, okay, they can make law about that, you know. I mean, it is absolutely astounding. But what has happened is that everybody got something out of this that they wanted, and so they voted for it. They held their nose and voted for it. The total revenue stream for the entire United States from all sources is just over $3 trillion. And so what we're doing is, as we're continuing to borrow, this is an indication of the complete facade that a budget ceiling is, or a deficit ceiling. They don't care. They move the number. They blow through it and they move it again. There's no discipline whatsoever. And everybody, it's a free-for-all. Oh, I got what I wanted. You get what you wanted? You bet I did. Hey, great, let's all vote for it. Kumbaya, you know. And in the process, the nation is being sold down the river or up the river, whatever the saying is. And we, the people, are suffering. And the inflationary rate, well, you hear what it's doing. I think it's way understated. Gas is at a higher price than it's ever been. And if you think, oh, that's all it's going to affect, you talk about how do we get our consumer goods to the marketplace, our groceries. Anything comes by delivered by fuel or by truck or train. Probably both. But the fact of the matter is, when those things start their trickle-down effect, the companies are not going to absorb those costs. They're going to pass them on. There will be consumer prices that go through the ceiling, and their measurement tools now are just wrong. But what did they do with this budget thing? They increased the amount of dollars that are out there pursuing the goods and services. And there's lesser goods and services this year because we've been paying people not to work. Now, by the way, I think we got a lot of Republicans to vote for this. Number one, with the increase in defense spending, and we got a lot of Democrats that were happy because they got a similar increase in domestic socialist programs. But in addition to that, the Republicans that were reluctant, you know, they're just these, just convince me, poke me, pull me along, whatever. They took out the COVID refunding stuff. And so some Republicans said, oh, okay, well, if you're going to do that, count me in, baby. And so, really, this is a log-rolling situation. And the constitutionality of it, in my mind, I would venture to guess 80% is unconstitutional. And if we're doing stuff like funding one side of a war that is far more complex than what we're being presented in the lame brain media, and we could take an hour or two right there and talk about that and why it's not as it's being presented. But when we're putting billions and billions of dollars into something, could that be construed to be a flagrant violation of our neutrality and
well,
open
and
us up to
literally
some kind
a
of
war
response?
Crime, though. We put $13.6 billion in just now. It turns out Ben Swan just did a report last hour that we played where now they've documented there's literally 30 bioweapons labs. Truth about U.S. bioweapons labs in the Ukraine. The government, along with the mainstream media, lied and said those labs didn't exist when we first called them out on it. But now we've caught the government and caught the mainstream press in big lies. And now they're worried about Russia getting a lot of the, what do you want to call it, classified information and experiments and everything else in their hands. And they're worried about that. And so now it's all come to light and they got caught lying. Well, how much money does that take? 30 labs funded in the Ukraine? How much money? Where? We don't even have any idea what money's going. We just know that $13.6 billion just got approved for even more, doctor. So we've been funding these kind of countries and involved in these countries for a long time. This is nothing new. But again, it's war crimes, doctor.
The Ukraine is a money laundering nation. It's a nation state of money laundering. And that's why the Biden crime syndicate is so involved there. And they haven't been just taking handouts. They've been taking dump trucks full of money out of there. And you talk about the these bioweapons labs that are there, you know, for gain-of-function kinds of things. I mean, it is absolutely absurd. Hopefully, Russia will have enough integrity. And people say, oh, how could you say integrity? I believe that Putin probably has a greater love for the Russian tradition, the ethnicity of Russians and all those kind of things than Biden ever had for America. And I'm hoping that Putin and his cronies will have enough integrity to destroy those bio labs and be done with them. But they've been being funded, gain-of-function stuff. We don't know the extent of it there. And we look at what the last 2 years has happened because of U.S.-funded gain-of-function stuff that was started in the country, moved to a university here out of a military base, taken overseas to Wuhan, and released on the nations of the world. I mean, this kind of stuff is what disasters are made out of. And the U.S. government has just decided to fund upholding the oligarchies of Ukraine. The people aren't going to be any better off.
I'm Holy submitting cow. Flat-out war crimes, ladies and gentlemen, is what I would have to say about it. It is out of control. Congressional offices expending their own budgets 21%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're $30 trillion in debt, and that's only that doesn't even count the unfunded mandates, etc. Wow, $1 billion for the Iron Dome missile defense system? Let's talk about that shenanigan in seconds.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Dr. Scott Bradley and yours truly on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, all I can tell you is it's a fiasco. But I want to highlight these two final headlines before the end of the hour, Doctor. The legislation also includes $1 billion for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. It was held up in the Senate for a while by Rand Paul trying to stop it, but none of the Republicans had his back. So they ignored Rand and passed it anyway. $1 billion for Israel's missile defense system. We are involved in so many foreign entanglements that our fathers warned us to stay out of. It is shocking.
You know, it's interesting. Maybe I'm a broken record, but people need to go back and read George Washington's farewell address. Carefully read it. Ponder it. Consider it. This idea where we have this unflinching dedication to foreign powers, as he points out, makes us slaves to that foreign power. And I think that there's plenty of evidence that many of the things that go on in the Middle East and indeed around the world are carried out by the U.S. at the behest of Israel because there's this huge lobby that says, you know, we can help you hold office if you'll give us what we need. Rand Paul, I guess, was attempting to say, wait, another billion here and another billion there. Pretty soon we're talking about some serious money. But I think most of the politicians know where their bread's buttered. Most of them know the huge donations that are made to them on behalf of the Israeli lobby. I mean, I'm guessing the pharma lobby is even more substantial, but I don't know how far apart they are. But you look at where we're selling ourselves because of the money. Follow the money. I keep saying that. And we have, for example, let's say there's many, including Mike Lee, the Utah senator, that he wanted to, in this latest bill, get rid of the Biden mandates for injections, you know, in a lot of these locations that they've identified as needing to be. It didn't pass, but he voted for the, big money for Israel. So, you know, there's everybody, they allow their skirts to be made dirty based upon where they know their bread's buttered.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no constitutional justification. There is no moral justification for any funding for a missile defense system in Israel, much less picking sides and joining the Ukraine and funding and training and arming. We go on and on and on. We pick sides in these. Look, these issues have been going on for thousands of years in these countries, these battles over territory, these battles over all kinds of complicated issues. We don't belong in any of it, Doctor. But when we're $30 trillion in debt, and that doesn't even count the unfunded mandates or anything else. If you look at that, it's close to $200 trillion with a T dollars in debt. But yet we're going to literally just start giving billions out to the Ukraine as if we have it.
At some point, this house of cards is going to come down, Doctor.
Well, and it's shocking that it hasn't to this point. It does show some of the resilience because of the layered strengths that are put into the whole U.S. system. I mean, the local governments and the county governments and the state governments, the local law enforcement, and all of these things have shown the resilience and strength. The free market has more resilience and strength than we can possibly imagine. But they're whittling away at it. They're wheedling away at it. They're seeking to destroy it. And, I mean, there's multiple forces that are working against it. One of the major ones, of course, is the United States Congress and the administration and the judiciary. These creations of a contract, you know, they're the creatures of the contract. They came into being because of a contract called the United States Constitution. They have no more power than the Constitution allows. And there is nothing in the Constitution that allows them to do everything they're doing. And it's very minimalist. And in fact, back in the days of the Federalist Papers, James Madison said most of the funding required would come from our tariffs on imports. In the Federalist 45, you can go read about that. But the fact of the matter is, today we have all sorts of revenue streams, but the total amount is a little over $3 trillion a year. We regularly and almost exclusively exceed that every year, $1.5-2 trillion. Oh, what the heck? What's a little trillion we exceed it by? And in the past few years, we have just ballooned to well over $30 trillion. And as you point out, that's the admitted debt. That doesn't include all of the promises we've made to pay in the future that there's no revenue stream for. It's just on the books, and yep, we're going to figure this out as we go. We have, I tell people, you know, they're not spending money like drunken sailors. Drunken sailors are spending their own money. This is not theirs. And it's like Sotomayor was in a recent decision in the Supreme Court said, well, if they're going to accept our money, they have to accept our rulings on this. And that had to do with the COVID things for people that are going on Medicare and Medicaid and so on. That's not their money. It's our money. It's our money. Now, George Washington in his his farewell address pointed out that there have to be taxes in order for a government to exist. It's just part of the nature of the beast. But they must be judiciously and honorably carried out. And where we're way outside the bounds, it's
well, and there was a fine line, crisis. By the way, Dr. Bradley, there was a fine line about how they were supposed to pay for the legitimate proper role of government. And the goal was indirect. It was never to be directly forced on the individuals or on the family or on the earning side of the equation or on the spending side of the equation or anything to do with our transactions or anything to do with our privacy. It was meant to say, look, we can have apportionment taxes and we can have tariffs at the borders. Neither have a direct impact on your day-to-day reality. And if government's thin and small, the effect of the necessary taxes will be very minimal indeed. But they've now changed it to where it's a direct tax via the IRS. And the IRS literally spies on you and gets all your personal information and violates your privacy. But then it's direct, and they use it to literally beat people into submission by force of penalty of perjury and everything else. And now we just get the headline, the IRS is hiring 10,000 more workers because they have 20 million backlogged tax returns. And they're going to hire these 10,000 workers, 5,000 in the next few months, and hopefully 10,000 by the year. And they want to clear off all these filings. All they have to do is go back to indirect apportionment and or tariffs and just dump the IRS. But of course, they'll never do it because that's how they keep the people in fear and keep the people on the reservation, so to speak. I know that's a bad term to use, but I'm going to use it anyway. They do this on purpose. They're not about to give up on this. But now we're going to have 10,000 more goons, supposedly to help us file our taxes, but really to force us into compliance and to abuse us and bludgeon us financially to death.
They're squeezing more blood out of the turnip is what they're going to do. And here's the deal. Thomas Jefferson said, he called them tax gatherers. He says Americans almost never see a tax gatherer. And that was by design, internal to the country. we were free to go about what we needed to do. And there was not a law for everything, and there wasn't a pickpocket on every corner. And you say, well, we don't want dishonest pickpockets. Well, if the government's the pickpocket, you have the police on their side. And by the way, Bastiat talked about that in his book, The Law, a marvelous little book that should be read by everybody also. He talked about the gendarmes, the police. He was French. The police are on the side of the illegal confiscation of private property. When those that gain control of the government start pulling the levers of government on their behalf. And that's exactly what this thing is in this great passage. You know, what was it, 68-31 that it passed? Then Schumer has this great victory, and Biden has his great victory, and every little stupid senator that voted for it has a victory for some little special project that they, you know, somehow sold their soul for. And the integrity has just been abandoned. It's been abandoned in our highest circles of government. And it's a travesty and a tragedy. And I look, I you know, when we watched the State of the Union address the other day, a week ago, there were the three people that were in line for presidency. I mean, the guy that was talking was the president. Kamala was over his shoulder there. So she's up next. And then behind her comes Pelosi. And it's like, holy cow, what are we doing? I mean, you look, Biden's administration is an abject failure. There's nothing good that's come out of that constitutionally at this point. You look at Kamala, she was rejected by the Democrats early in their primary process as unqualified and unworthy and everything else like that. She hasn't touched anything since she's been in the administration as the vice president that has had a satisfactory outcome. And then Nancy Pelosi, I think I mentioned last time we were on that she was like a six-year-old girl at a birthday party waiting for her own first pony ride. I mean, it was like, where do we get these people that are so completely undignified, unstatesmanship-like, and unable to comprehend the simple, plain English words of the United States Constitution? And that's who we've got leading this country? Are you kidding me? It's a tragic travesty, sadly.
You got to have prayers for the nation, ladies and gentlemen. You got to repent. We the people need to repent and turn to God Almighty instead of bureaucrats for our answers. Putting our arm or trust in the arm of flesh, putting our faith in these men and women that lead us astray, always learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, is a serious problem indeed. The nation needs to look at the Constitution, a heavenly banner. And if we do, this nation shall endure. And that's what we advocate for, a firm testimony in the Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And there is no mortal man on the earth that's going to play the role of the Savior, ladies and gentlemen. That's a dishonest deception. Stand with Christ. Stand with liberty. Stand with the U.S. Constitution. Use the checks and balances to restore the Republic in the traditions of our founders. Do so by being a religious, a humble, a moral people. That's the only way to get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other answer on the face of the earth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Savior. And that's the case for the sacred cause of liberty as well. After all, the only purpose for government is to protect life, liberty, and property. Otherwise, there's no value in government whatsoever. It's going to take an educated populace, Doctor.
It is, and honestly, we may pray, may God help us, but we must conform to His standard. And I don't know how we can possibly expect Him to be pleased with us if we're violating that standard at every single turn. So, yeah, I would say may God help the nation, but the nation needs to align itself with His standard and seek to bring it about. So, yeah,
we declare this nation shall endure, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com for the Q&As and weekly webinars from Dr. Scott Bradley. That's FreedomsRisingSun.com, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. BrightyOnRadio.com, all kinds of great sites. Support us, fund us. We're grateful you've got time. We pray we work together to restore the Republic. We declare this nation shall endure, but God save the Republic.